In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the Mass where we recognize in two instances, both in the lesson of the Mass as well as in the Gospel of the Mass, that God seeks to raise up sons who have died prematurely, young sons. In fact, only sons of widows. When we see this beautiful parallelism that goes on within the scriptures, there are a few things that should occur to you. There's a reason why our Lord God, in his coming to earth, performed these particular miracles that he does. Oftentimes what he is showing you and I is when you see that he does something in the New Testament, you see him doing something very similar in the Old Testament, because God is the same. And what the Lord wishes to remind those who are paying attention, his Israelites, his people who know the scriptures, who are paying attention, that just as they saw things done so marvelously in the time before, they're all being done here in this one. He's trying to draw attention to the fact that he is indeed God, that he is indeed the Messiah who has come, and showing that the exact same things that you have marveled about in letters and in scriptures that you have seen before are happening before your eyes. Pay attention. And that's why when the Tsunamitess worshipped there at that very place, though she was giving thanks to the prophet of God, she was truly giving thanks to God. And where here, they did not drop down and worship, but rather they proclaimed that God has truly visited his people. In truth, they didn't understand exactly how he had visited them, because they didn't recognize that he himself was God. They hadn't come to that fullness of that understanding yet, but he was leading them there. And their response is exactly as it should be. What I want to draw your attention, not just to the fact that God does great things before, and indeed, he does do these things right now. You can see them in many, many places throughout the world through the miracles of the saints, the exact same things, and even greater, do continue to go on today. But the reaction of our Lord at the presence of the woman of name, or rather, at the presence of the woman and her son who has died. Do you recall what's going on there? It says here in the English translation of the Douay Rheims that it says he was moved by mercy. And that is true. Misericordia, or in Hebrew, it'd be that word hased, God's steadfast love. But it's something more that's going on within them. He was indeed moved by mercy, moved to do a merciful work, a work of compassion. But that's not actually what it says within the scriptures. That is a dynamic translation trying to get you to understand the sense of what's going on there. But what it really says there is that his bowels were disturbed. That's literally what it says there. Hebrew is a very visceral language, and so often it uses visceral language to be able to describe what's going on, particularly what's there. It's not like Greek, which understands all the movements of the souls and speaks in a high and lofty way, the same way you and I might look at the French language, which is very good at speaking about ideas and things that would move one's spirit higher. Rather, Hebrew is a lot like German in the sense that it moves toward action. It stays visceral. It stays very earthy in this way. That's what the great orator Winston Churchill spoke about when he was writing his speeches to rouse his people. A great master of the English language was he. When he wanted to lift people's souls up, he would use the cognates or the French root words. But when he wanted to move his people to action, to do something, he would use the German root words in English that would move them to do and to act things. It's the exact same sense. And so our Lord is using here a Hebrewism. It's spoken about in this way that his bowels were disturbed. It means he was perturbed. It means he was irritated at the depths of his soul. The depths of who he was were disturbed at the sight of death. And that's something for you and I to keep close when we experience death within our own families, when we see it within our own friends, when we see it within the world, and there's something at us that seems awry, that it seems that it doesn't fit, and there's something in us that lashes out at us that we even become maybe angry or totally disturbed and distraught at the sight of a particular death. Well, that's the way God feels in the same way. You're not alone in that. That can be an encouragement. There's a parallelism as to what goes on here and what goes on at the burning bush. You remember that from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, where holy Moses was in the desert before he went to engage in his mission to set God's people free. He was visited by that burning bush. And when he saw it and marveled at this bush that was on fire and yet was not being consumed or being destroyed, do you remember what that voice called out to him before he could really begin speaking with God? Do you remember what was said? Said, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. For the ground upon which you stand is holy. Now, why is it that Moses had to remove his shoes to go barefoot? It's an interesting thing. I didn't find this out until when I was on my 6 weeks away, where a scripture scholar pointed this out to us as he was discussing opening up the scriptures for us in a way that we had not been able to see before there in the monastery. A great gift that was to have that visiting lecturer come and spend time with us. He pointed out that it wasn't because the ground being holy that somehow going unshod in the presence of God is somehow particularly good in and of itself. It's because there's something deeper that's going on there. The ground that he was standing on wasn't holy. It was that God is present there. And so because God is present, wherever God is present, there is a holy ground. God is the one who makes the ground holy, not the ground itself being holy. When God departs from there, it's not a holy place. It's only holy because God is there. But he had to remove his shoes because what are shoes made out of? That's the reason why. It's because the shoes are made out of something. The sandals, made out of leather. Made out of leather. And what's leather made out of? Leather is made out of animal skins. And what are animal skins made out of? Dead animals. Yeah? Usually, right? And so because they're made out of dead animals, this is the teaching that God wishes to give. And when he says, remove your shoes, remove your sandals, for the ground of which you stand is holy, it's because of this very fact. It's because death has no place in the presence of God. That's the real reason why. Death has no place in the presence of God. And so because those shoes are made out of dead animals, that is death, and so death must depart from the presence of God. Remember, God is not the author of death. God is the author of life. God is a God who gives life. Remember what our Lord says in the gospel. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember what John 3:16 says. He says, I've come that they might have life. Well, that's not John 3:16, but it says it another place in John. I've come that they may have life, and they may have life to the full, life in abundance. God is the author of life. And so, because he didn't create death, as you look back, read Genesis chapter 3, says that's the result of sin, the result of fall. If you should eat this fruit, you shall surely die. It's a result of sin. And so the results of sin, what God does not do, sin and death, both those two enemies which the whole of the New Testament speak that Christ has come in the world to defeat and to destroy, they don't belong in God's presence because he didn't create them. They're an aberration. And so that which speaks of death has to be removed in the presence of God. It teaches you and I something which is great. That's why Christ is disturbed every time you see within the Gospels that he encounters death. It says his bowels are moved. He's perturbed is another translation that they use in English is there because death does not belong in the presence of God. Remember, it says in another place that God is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for all are alive to him. And seeing these realities should bring you and I courage as we go forward, not just here within this Lenten season, which is quickly escaping from you and I, now that we're more than half the way through our season of Lent, just a couple more weeks, Passion Tide begins this upcoming Sunday, when all the statues will be covered. But also for the rest of our lives, to realize that God does not desire death at all, particularly eternal death, or the death of the soul, which is the result of sin. He's come to destroy the works of death, which is to say also the works of the devil. Because the devil works forth death, as does sin within the soul. Just as our Lord gave life to this widow son in name, just as our Lord came to give life to that Tsunamitis son, she herself a widow in name, he comes to give life to you and I if we would but drink of it. That's what the great grace is. And far greater than anything that happens within either of these two occasions, where dead persons were taken back to life and people turned to God and began to worship him all the more truly, something more powerful than that happens, rather an opportunity of it, happens every single day here within this church. And I'm not talking about the celebration of the Mass. A far greater miracle than all that happens each and every time a soul steps into that confessional box at the back of the church and is free from sin. For it is appointed unto man, as the scriptures say, to die once. But mortal sin is something which allows a person not to die merely the natural one time, but if unforgiven, would to die a second time, which would be eternal separation from God. Realizing that fact, that God is not the author of death, and rather desires to give life to all, to transform and to destroy the works of the devil, sin, and death. Make use of these sacraments, that you too might have that life that he has in abundance, and shed off all that death which has no place within the presence of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.